I just think that there's always going to be a niche for us to have premium customers, because there's enough customers that care about sustainability and that they're willing to support it. And then with legislation and growth and more people greening their operation, I think the growth for us looks really good. And that ultimately plays back to the economics for the business, which is important because you can't just have a sustainability technology. You have to have sustainable economics. If you don't have sustainable economics, you don't grow. And no one wants this to not grow. I mean, people want more. They don't want to compromise.
Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. Welcome to our show where we're hearing from business leaders who are innovating and leading the manufacturing industry into the future. Now, today I'm speaking with Dustin Olson, the Chief Executive Officer at Pure Cycle Technologies. Now, Dustin leads all global operations, including manufacturing, procurement, sustainability, commercial sales, and joint venture partnerships. A little about Pure Cycle. Now, this is a really innovative, a highly innovative organization that is revolutionizing the treatment of polypropylene plastic waste. That's plastic with the number 5 on it, which is very common, but often not recycled. They're changing that by using a patented purification recycling technology. It was developed by Procter & Gamble and enriched by Pure Cycle's innovative approach to remove impurities so that plastic can be recycled repeatedly and without sacrificing quality. Pure Cycle has a focus on sustainable practices and prides itself on the processes that use less energy than creating new plastic. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, if you can't tell, because I'm pretty serious about recycling myself, and I've always wondered what really happens to plastic. And since Pure Cycle's process generates ultra-pure recycled, or UPR, resin that can be infinitely reused and recycled, Dustin's company is literally manufacturing the future. So, Dustin, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Carrie. It's nice to meet you, and I'm excited to talk about it as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get started by getting to know you. Could you share a bit about your background and what led you to your current role as the CEO of Pure Cycle Technologies?
Well, I'm a small town kid. I grew up in a town in Southern Illinois, 2,000 people. There were less than 40 people in my graduating class. And I was watching a sitcom one day, and this individual hit a button from the couch and a soda came from the fridge to the couch. I'm like, that's really cool. And turned out this episode was about an individual living with two engineers. So I guess I got the bug for engineering at that moment. And then I went off to school at the university, looked around at the different disciplines, landed in chemical engineering, and then found my way down to Houston. In Houston, I spent many years working in lots of different technologies, refining and specialty chemicals and some polymer services. And I got the opportunity to live in Europe for a few years. I got the opportunity to live in China for a few years. And I really just got to experience a lot of really cool things the first 20 years of my career, which I think positioned me nicely for where I am now, which is just an opportunity to take so many different disciplines and aspects of technology and working with people all around the world and kind of meld it all together to make this new recycling technology work. And so I was really attracted to Pure Cycle, one, because I think the technology is just phenomenal. But two, it was just a unique role that I felt pulled together a lot of the experiences that I'd had over the first 20 years and gave me an opportunity to put them all in action. So I came.
That's great. So I would love to learn about this approach, because Pure Cycle is pioneering this transformative approach to recycling polypropylene. Can you walk us through how this process works, especially the impact on sustainability?
Yeah. So I think you first have to take a bit of a step back and look at the overall ecosystem. Okay. I mean, recycling, it's hard. Okay. First of all, and you don't meet a lot of people that don't want to do it. You meet some people that don't want to do it because it might be harder for them personally. And so maybe that's a barrier. But for the most part, people don't like seeing plastic in the ocean, and they don't like seeing a lot of plastic going to the landfill and all these kind of bad things that are happening out there. And so the idea of recycling connects with people. The issue is that there hasn't been good enough transformative technology that's enabled us to leap forward and make it easier for the customer, for the general household, and also make a better product that's better for customers of ours. And so PureCycle is unique. There's lots of different recycling technologies out there. Some of them basically sort plastic into the different types. And, you know, if you look on the bottom of these bottles, you've got all these different numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we're number 5. When you see a number 5, we see 5 with a PP, that's polypropylene. But all of those numbers are different types of plastic with different chemical structures and different behaviors, and they have to be treated differently. So what we do is we look for the number 5 to do our process on. But when you do mechanical recycling, you effectively sort into the different fractions and then find a way to wash the exterior of the plastic, grind it up, and then bring it back into the product stream. And that's really good. I mean, it plays an important role in the overall ecosystem, but it has limitations because there are, we call them contaminants included in plastic that give it unique behavior. Now, those aren't like bad contaminants. It could be like dyes to make it red, yellow, blue, or green. It could be solids like baby powder that make it lower cost. But when you take all of the plastic together and you mix it into one, it becomes a mixture of different properties. And so mechanical recycling is good, but has very limited applications because it's got a lot of those other things still left in it. That's one really, say, first key recycling tech. The second is something called chemical recycling. And that's more like a plastic to fuel. And that's a way to take plastic and break it down to its base molecules and then turn it into like crude oil or some sort of petrochemical feed that then will turn into fuel and polymers and other things through their process naturally. That's a good process as well. Our process is different. Okay. So the best way to think about what we do is we're like a molecular washing machine. Okay, so we take the plastic and we dissolve it. And when we dissolve the polypropylene, it leaves the other stuff behind. And then that lets us process the other stuff and remove it from the stream. So it's kind of like washing the inside of the molecule and filtering all of those other things out. And what you're left with is good, clean product that can be used in lots of different applications. We say it's infinitely recyclable because we can always bring it back to the front and take those contaminants out again. We say that it can be used in just about every application because if you take all of those additive packages or contaminants out of the stream, then you give the customers a fresh polymer to do what they do with. That's why we're unique. And it really is a step forward, and it really is going to change the way people think about recycling. And it really gives us a chance at an infinitely sustainable planet.
I absolutely love this. A molecular washing machine.
Molecular washing machine. That's right. Yeah.
How many locations do you have?
We have our first location in Ironton, Ohio. That's our flagship new facilities where we're scaling the technology first. That was mechanically completed last year and been in the process of starting up since then. We're working out kinks, but we are running a recycle feed and we are making a product on the back end. So we are really well on our way. That will be a single, let's say, processing line location. We've also announced that we're going to build in Augusta, Georgia, and that will be more of a mega facility. It's where we can really grow into it over time. We'll have lots of space to really build out a massive complex to the tune of about 1 billion pounds per year of plastic, a full build out. But the unique thing is that we also have lots of interest around the world. So we've announced a location in Belgium, Antwerp, Belgium. We're going to be in the next gen district. It's a big deal for Belgium. They're setting aside a parcel of area at the port of Antwerp, where it's going to be dedicated to sustainable industries. And we're going to be part of that. We are thrilled to be there with them. There's a lot of heavy support for us there. And then really, as you look around the world, there's a lot of different countries that want to solve their problem locally. And so we're working with a company called SK Geocentric in South Korea to build a plant in Ulsan, South Korea. And we're also working with a company called Mitsui for a plant build out in Japan. All of these projects are in various levels of development. We've learned a lot starting up Ironton. And so we're tweaking the edges of the design a bit to make them more efficient. It's been a pretty tough environment when it comes to interest rates and capital raising, as well as cost of goods are a lot more expensive now than what they were just 2 years ago. And so we're constantly refining our estimates for cost of the plants and working hard to get the cost down so that we can justify building these facilities around the world.
Congratulations on such growth. And that's very promising for the future of sustainability and green practices. Would you share what you can about the business model? I mean, I imagine margins are very tight. And as you said, as you continue to expand around the world, cost is a challenge. How do you make it work?
Well, so all of that is true. Okay. There are a couple of unique things about us that give us a bit of an advantage. First of all, because we are a fundamental recycler, we really do a molecular level recycling. It gives us access to feeds that other people can't touch. So that gives us a bit of a feedstock advantage to where we can purchase feeds that are cheaper than other feeds because they would otherwise be going to the landfill or people have to pay to get rid of them. So that gives us an advantage. The other piece of it is we have a premium product. Okay. We are ultra pure. And so customers really want to keep things simple. And so the more that you can do to make what you're bringing to them similar to what they've done for the last decade or, you know, decades, the better. And so we can command a premium for our product because we don't interrupt their operation. They don't require infrastructure to make us work. And it's kind of a no compromise solution. They don't have yield loss and mold failures and different things like that. And so we help maintain the efficiency of their operation. A lot of recycle streams are being sold right now. They're not quite as high a quality, and that makes it harder for customers to use. And so customers generally are willing to pay a premium for our product. Now, all that being said, there's 200 billion pounds per year of polypropylene produced around the world, okay? And there's lots of different numbers. I'd hate to like quote one to be like perfect, but 5 to 10% recycling of polypropylene is about it. And so if you look at the commitments made by customers for what they want to do, and you look at the supply of product on the market for them to do that, and then you look at the quality of product enabling them to do that, there's a big gap. So we typically focus on sustainability-minded customers first, because then they're willing to put a little bit more value into the concept. They either have marketing value or they have core value to doing it. And so they'll be willing to pay a bit more. And the reason I give you the scale of the market, it's like 200 billion pounds. 10% at most is recycled. That's 20 billion pounds a year. There's 180 billion pounds left over. And when you look at the number of customers that want to use it, it exceeds that. Okay. Wow. So I just think that there's always going to be a niche for us to have premium customers because there's enough customers that care about sustainability. They're willing to support it. And then with legislation and growth and more people greening their operation, I think the growth for us looks really good. And that ultimately plays back to the economics for the business, which is important because you can't just have a sustainability technology. You have to have sustainable economics. If you don't have sustainable economics, you don't grow. And no one wants this to not grow. I mean, people want more. They don't want to compromise necessarily. They don't want to give up what they are doing. They don't want to make it harder. But if there's a technology that solves those problems, you want to support those technologies so they grow fast. And that's what we're working on.
That's great. I mean, it's not just the customers, I can imagine, who want this, but the customers care so much. And as you said, with the regulations that are coming out and the compliance requirements, pretty soon it's going to be an imperative anyway. So this is great.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, legislation typically lags demand or lags interest, and consumer interest is certainly growing. And so we suspect that over time, the legislation will also turn. And every country is different. I mean, different countries move at different paces to grow this interest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had mentioned technology. So I want to dig into technologies with you because it is so important to the future of manufacturing and to your organization. Specifically, it's inherently important to the organization. So what kind of technologies have had a real impact on your business? And it could be from the day-to-day operations or even from strategic initiatives, the technologies that have really made an impact. What would you say those are and why?
We have this blessing and this curse, which is we're new. Everything we're doing is new. So it's really fun when you get started it's really fun when you get started that you have a white sheet of paper and you can just do it right the first time. Now, that also is a curse because you end up trying to incorporate so many of the new that sometimes it makes it harder. And everything is brand new for you, so you've got to build from the foundation up, which takes more time. One of the areas that we focused on outside of our core business, so recycling, innovation, sustainability, like we are all fully engaged in that every day. But one of the things that we've put a lot of interest into is digital. Okay. Digital is really a good thing to embrace early. Everybody who sees the digital solutions out there, like, oh, I got to have that. I want that. But sometimes the barrier to entry on some new digital is I just bought this other stuff and it's like, I'd have to trash all of that in order to get the new. I don't want to do it. Okay. And so there's a balance here. But because we were starting fresh with a blank sheet of paper, we were able to really build a lot of neat digital aspects into our business. And so we have not just built kind of neat digital things into what we do every day, but we set a foundation for digital growth. So we've got a lot less paper. We have a lot more electronic. The training for our systems can be 3D and virtual. We've got really sophisticated training and procedures for the operators to use. Things like where a procedure has embedded video and embedded learnings and things like that, that we can constantly update. And so I think I've done a pretty nice job of setting the foundation to be a born digital organization. And I would say that's a nice area of manufacturing for the future that we've put quite a bit of work into. I wouldn't be telling the full truth if I said, oh, it's easy. Because honestly, some of the digital is extremely difficult to get right. And we've made some good decisions and some bad, but we're committed to it. And we're still leveraging that to get better and better every day.
When you are making those decisions about what sort of technologies to bring into the organization, what is your process? Do you reach out to the owners of the different functional areas? Do you involve stakeholders? Do you have a small group to really drive? Just curious, how do you make those decisions? Because like, as you said, it can be complex.
Yeah, I think you really have to balance the excitement of the do now with the practicality of do right, okay? And so the good news about PureCycle is we're an entrepreneurial organization. We're born out of a startup, and that has led us to be just have a certain culture of bias to action. So we don't wait around a lot. We make quick decisions and we move. We're also small enough and nimble enough and connected enough to a singular vision that we can move pretty quickly on decisions. Okay. I mean, everybody understands our tech. Everybody understands our goal. Everybody understands what we want to do. And they're all working toward that. And so when an opportunity comes up to embrace a new technology concept or something like that, typically we can get a small group of people together to see fairly quickly, does it fit or not? And so we can go, no go decisions pretty quickly.
That's great. Okay, so sustainability is very important to PureCycle's mission. That is coming across very loud and clear, and it's inspiring. When you are talking with others in the manufacturing industry, what is manufacturing's role in sustainability, building a more sustainable planet? What do you say when you are working with other manufacturers?
Well, I guess I would say I am a proponent of technology leading the decision and the discussion. I think it is generally dangerous to let regulation drive decisions. It's smarter to let technology lead. Now, regulation can drive technology development. That's fine. But mandating certain things without the technology position is, I think, very challenging. And so with respect to manufacturing, I would probably twist it to say, you got to let the technology lead. You got to follow the technology, and you've got to shape the technology to make it easier for human beings to do what they like to do. If you just impose something that's harder on people, it just gets met with tons of resistance. If you find a way to make it easier for them or to have a technology that's agnostic to the barrier, so just bring it on, that's better. And so I would say, look, I think that if we're not investing in technology for the future, then we are 100% missing the boat. Like, this is the future. And to really make substantial progress in these areas that everybody seems to agree on, but we can't move fast enough on, we've just got to lean into technology. And then at the end of the day, it's not marketing. It's not shows. It's not promise. It's just boots on the ground, manufacturing excellence that gets us done. It's got to be founded on strong technology. But then you've got to layer into that strong manufacturing fundamentals in order to really achieve the goal. And look, we've had a lot of challenges here. Some of those are the technology needs to be tweaked a little bit, and therefore we need to improve the technology to make it work from a manufacturing perspective. We've got a lot of new people learning the technology for the very first time. And so we're growing into kind of our shoes in terms of what we're going to be able to do long term. But the more effort you put into people who are doing the work on the ground, really in the field, seeing what's happening and making the machines work, the stronger organization you'll have in the long run. And I think that we put an enormous amount of effort into that space.
Great point. I mean, it always comes down to empowering your team members, having a workforce that's empowered by technology to get the job done. Really fascinating. So when you are talking about technology that's really working, where you feel as though you have tweaked it to the point and now it's working for your business, what does success look like? What are the kinds of results or the returns that you see in the business when you get technology right?
Yeah, so this is a challenging question because at the end of the day, it's about how many pellets do you put out the back door?
Yeah.
Okay, because our job is to bring feed in and to make pellets on the backside. The interesting thing about growth is that there are so many moving parts in the entire system that any one of those little bitty things can really trip you up. And they can be really challenging, complex, technically like sophisticated things that are hard to understand. And then they can be something very simple and kind of like the stupidest thing in the operation. So any one of those things getting out of balance can really trip you up. And so, look, we put an enormous focus on processability and making pellets. At the end of the day, though, we do a lot of work to celebrate the small wins because you could have a day where you don't make a pellet, but you learn something incredible that will help you in every day forward. And it's a huge moment and a huge success. And so I think that we are balancing the need to celebrate the growth and the wins that we see every single day, but also trying to helicopter up a little bit to say, at the end of the day, we need to make pellets because that's our shareholders' expectation of us, and that's what we've got to go do. But really, in order to do that successfully in the long run, you've got to get all these small items right at the foundation.
Yes, it really is a balance. When you're looking out across the landscape, there are so many different constraints and priorities and technologies and things to balance. So wanted to ask you, speaking of leadership, which it sounds like, and I know you have so much experience in, how has your career that has spanned refining, specialty chemicals, polymers, really helped to shape your experiences and the lessons that you've learned as a leader, which has, of course, now propelled you into the role as a CEO of this such an innovative organization? How has this shaped your leadership?
So let's talk about PureCycle first. PureCycle is the intersection of entrepreneurialism and build a stable company. At the intersection of recycling and petrochemical, at the intersection of chemistry and physics at its core. And those are sometimes like oil and water type groups, but we're in the middle of all of that. And we've got to figure out a way to blend it all together to make it work. So I think by the nature of our business, we have a lot of diversity in our organization. We've got some people with heavy mechanical recycling backgrounds. We've got heavy petrochemical backgrounds, and they don't speak the same language. But the machine doesn't work unless they work together. And I think that that's driven a high level of diversity of thought and action inside of our company. When it comes to leadership, I don't know. I think that everybody's got an opinion on this and probably everybody's got a book too, okay? My core fundamentals are things like work hard every day, grind through the problems every day, be kind to people always, be humble. I think that the success that we will see in the future will be because we listened hard to everybody. Because no matter your position, your role, your job in the plant, or your job in the office, you have a responsibility to listen because there's going to be insights that percolate from time to time that if you're not there listening, you will miss them and they can be some of the most influential impacts on the business. So I think that we work really hard to listen to everybody in the organization. And I think by doing that, we've captured a lot of insightful nuggets of information that have helped us to grow faster, learn faster, and do better with the plant. And I hope that continues to be who we are long term.
Excellent guidance from a leadership perspective. Thank you for sharing that. From a sustainability perspective for other manufacturers out there, from a new technology perspective, what sort of guidance or advice would you give them who are looking to take it to the next level, who are looking to make a bigger impact from a sustainability perspective? Where should they get started? What would you say?
Getting from zero to one is hard. And yeah. I would say you have to focus on the fundamentals of what you do. There's a balance between staying big picture with a focus on the future and really staying connected to the details. I think maybe a key learning is that leaders in the organization need to be connected to the details. Okay. All people in the organization need to be connected to the details. But as a small technology startup company, if you don't know your technology, then you don't have a strong role there. We need to have people who know the technology, know how to work inside the technology, and can help advance the technology. I think that's first. I think don't underestimate time. Time will evaporate on you. And so being very focused on short-term goals with a interest in connecting those goals to the bigger picture, I think is important. Sometimes you can get so swallowed up into the big picture that you forget that you've got to hit these small items every day in order to move it forward. So there's a lot of other things. I mean, look, finding money, finding partners, finding relationships, getting that start, it's hard. Okay, it's hard. And so you've really got to choose the right partners that you can lean on to help one another through the good and the bad times. You've got to stay level. You cannot ride the emotional roller coaster because it'll kill you. There's going to be a lot of good days. There's going to be a lot of bad days. But so long as you're moving forward in the right direction, then the trajectory will be okay. But stay focused on the technology. Let that lead your decision making. And then maybe the last thing is never lose hope. Always maintain optimism. It is so easy to bury yourself into all the reasons why things can happen, and then you never get there. If I had every single day people tell me why we're not going to be successful, and that's for like the last 3 years. The reality is every single time we've had a problem come to us, we've figured out a way to solve it. And I think the attitude towards solving problems, identifying and solving problems, ultimately leads to your success. Like, how can you fail if you're continuously getting better and solving problems every single day? And that's a very long way to answer, but that's probably how I do it.
I love it. Keep going forward and don't lose hope.
Forward. Mm-hmm. You've got to grind every single day, and you've got to maintain optimism, and you've got to keep pushing the ball forward.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of optimism, what's next? Thinking about the different technologies that are out there in the space, maybe ones that you're now currently looking at or thinking about or curious about, what do you think is the next big thing?
I haven't given a lot of thought about that, to be honest with you. I'm so buried into the PureCycle mission that I am 100% focused on this. Sometimes it's very difficult to take a step back and to see the ecosystem. But look, I think that many of the hurdles in the way of growth is infrastructure. And that's kind of breaking down legacy thinking and legacy positions. And so twisting that to a new spot is very challenging. So I would say that there's going to be a lot of grind happen to improve the infrastructure for all new tech, whether it's EVs or it's hydrogen cars or it's plastic recycling, or if it's just getting recycled bins out at your curb so they start getting picked up. I mean, there's still a lot of places out there that don't even do that. So I think the infrastructure development is absolutely key to setting the right foundation for technology to work, because you don't want those sort of things to get in the way of a great technology that really transforms the way people do things. Look, a lot of people think it's so far away to get to sustainability goals, and the goals are big, but really the technology is there. There's not a lot that we need to do except for go execute. And so I think that we continue to stay focused on that, show progress on that, then I think that'll lead to more and more growth in that space.
Great point. And what a huge opportunity for those who are ready to go tackle the infrastructure challenges of today. That's excellent. Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation. Was there anything that we didn't discuss that you wanted to share today?
Look, my main message is from a PureCycle perspective, we are grinding and gritty and pushing hard every day to advance the mission of PureCycle. And we believe it's true. We believe it's good. We've got a great carbon footprint, a great product, and a good feedstock position. So we're just going to keep working on that, because as we continue to get better, we will advance naturally in a real way. But then the other piece I would say is the world needs to continue to lean into technology. Don't let the yesterday thinking, drive what you think you can do today. You've got to open your eyes, open your mind, dive into and search for technology, because if you do, you will find it. And when you find it, it will make something better for the world. So long as the world continues to be tech-focused, technology-driven, churn out those engineers and scientists and technicians in the schools, the STEM education, then the world's going to be okay. And we're really not too far away from having some big breakthroughs to make people feel good about things again. And I think that technology is at the heart of all that. We should lean in.
Well said. Well said. I am feeling so much more optimistic after this discussion. Thank you, Dustin.
Well, hey, it's been a great talk for me too. It's nice to meet you, and I wish you the best. I hope the listeners and the watchers enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much. So for those who want to connect with you or learn more about you, where would you send them?
Yeah, purecycle.com, www.purecycle.com. We've got a lot of information out there. We're a publicly traded company, so you can search on PCT and find a lot of stuff. Some of it you need to ignore, but there's a lot of good information out there too. And hey, look, we are plugging forward and making good progress and excited about the future.
Same here. Excited about the future. Thank you so much, Dustin.
All right, Carrie. Thank you.
That was Dustin Olson, CEO of PureCycle Technologies, a manufacturer that's transforming the treatment of polypropylene plastic waste and, in a broader sense, leading the way in sustainability and changing our planet for the good. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.